Welcome to Beyond Blathers, the podcast where we dive deeper into the insects, fish, and fossils you can find in Animal Crossing New Horizons. I'm Olivia DeBercier.
And I'm Sophia Osborne.
And this week, Sophia is going to tell us about the coconut palm trees.
Yeah, so if you listened to our episode on cacti a few weeks ago, this is basically another installment of things I saw while in California and became very enchanted with and want to talk about on the podcast. So welcome back to this segment.
The plant episodes. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, from the non-botany expert at all.
I mean, I like it because I genuinely know nothing about plants. I think they're... admittedly, has been a part of me that has intentionally ignored this, but I shouldn't. I should know. I should learn. So I'm ready.
Yeah, so we don't have any commentary from Blathers for this one, but as I'm sure you know if you've played the game, palm trees are quite prevalent in Animal Crossing New Horizons. So we're going to talk first about palms more generally and then zoom in to talk about coconut palms since that's what we see in the game.
Yeah. So what exactly is a palm tree? Because I remember when I would give like plant tours, one of the facts we shared was like that they aren't really trees, but I don't really understand what that means. So can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, for sure. So palms are a family of flowering plants or angiosperms called Ericaceae. I did check the pronunciation of that. They're monocots, which means each seed typically only produces a single embryonic leaf. So think something like grass and grass-like flowering plants. Like cacti, this is a really diverse family that includes climbing palms, shrubs, stemless plants, and of course palm trees. There are roughly 2,600 known species of palm.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, like you alluded to, Olivia, palm trees aren't really trees scientifically. They lack what's called secondary growth, which is the growth in diameter that we see in trees, where their trunks keep expanding outward and give them tree rings. But there is definitely some debate about kind of what makes something a tree. For example, this is a quote from AmericanForest.org. Quote, "From a technical standpoint, palms fit American forests' current definition of trees, as they are woody plants with an erect perennial stem or trunk at least 9.5 inches in circumference at 4.5 feet above the ground. They also have a definitively formed crown of foliage and a height of at least 13 feet.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
They're definitely, like, tree-like.
Like many things, it just depends on your definition of what a tree is. What box are we using?
Exactly.
Nice. And where can they be found? Because I'm pretty sure we don't have any here, but I also might be wrong about that.
Palms are native to tropical and subtropical climates, with their highest diversity being found in wet lowland forests in South America, the Caribbean, and the Pacific Islands. But they can be found in a lot of places. There are some palms that are native to desert areas like the Arabian Peninsula and parts of northwestern Mexico, and there are some species that naturally grow in the highlands of southern Asia and along the Mediterranean Sea. So they can live in pretty diverse places. And as you've probably seen, palms can be cultivated north of subtropical zones. I do see them sometimes here in Vancouver, even in people's yards, although I don't know how well they're doing or whether they're like producing fruit or flowers or anything like that. But they seem to like at least be able to survive some species. But let's focus in on the coconut palm tree, as that's what we see in the game. So the coconut palm, or Cocos nucifera, is the only living species of the genus Cocos. The name coconut comes from the old Portuguese word coco, meaning head or skull, because of the three indentations on the coconut that look like facial features. And I do think this is very cute and that they do look cute, like a surprised Pikachu face. But actually, coconuts aren't nuts, which I guess you might have gotten from the whole angiosperm thing. They're drupes or stone fruits like peaches and mangoes. And the husk part, like the sort of fibrous, harder part that surrounds the seed, that's kind of the equivalent of like the flesh of the cherry around the seed or the flesh of the peach around the pit, you know?
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So Cocos nucifera can grow up to 30 meters or 100 feet tall. I got that from Wikipedia, and then I saw some like smaller estimates. So I don't know, maybe there's like some 100 feet tall ones, but I think that's on the very, very tall side. But they can be huge. I was surprised to learn that most coconut palms only produce their first fruit after 6 to 10 years and reach their peak production at 15 to 20 years. I don't know why. I kind of just think of them as such a sort of fast growing thing, but I don't know. I guess that's pretty fast for trees.
Yeah. I mean, I also, I think, thought of them as fast growing, I guess, because they're just like, when you go to tropical places, they just seem to be everywhere and like all over the beaches and stuff. I don't know. They just feel very like temporary and decorative in a weird way. Like, I had no idea that they could get that big. I'm trying to imagine one that's that tall. But that's really cool, especially because I feel like so many of the ones I would see like at resorts and stuff or just like in Hawaii, they all had coconuts on them. So I guess they were at least like decently old. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess they're just very prolific. But yeah, it's cool to think when you look around, oh, these are, you know, older trees.
Yeah, it's kind of harder to eyeball like an aspen tree or something, at least for me. I don't know, probably the foresters out there, like they can do it really accurately. But so where do coconut palms originate from?
Yeah, so this is quite an interesting story of a scientific discovery. In 2011, researchers B.F. Gunn, Luke Bowdoin, and Kenneth M. Olson published an article called Independent Origins of Cultivated Coconut in the Old World Tropics in the journal PLOS-1. And they examined the genomes of over 1,300 coconuts from around the world. The researchers weren't expecting to find much of a geographical pattern to the DNA of these coconuts. They thought it would be pretty homogeneous and kind of mixed up because of just the way humans have brought coconuts all around the world. But what they found was actually surprising. According to the press release from Washington University, there were, quote, two clearly differentiated populations of coconuts, a finding that strongly suggests the coconut was brought under cultivation in two separate locations, one in the Pacific Basin and the other in the Indian Ocean Basin. What's more, coconut genetics also preserve a record of prehistoric trade routes of the colonization of the Americas, end quote.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah, and one thing I should mention here before I guess we really dive into this research is that there are two distinct forms of the actual coconut fruit. There's neocapha, which is triangular and oblong and has a large fibrous husk protecting the seed inside. So as I mentioned, that husk part that's sort of equivalent to like the flesh on a peach, that part is a lot more, takes up a lot more of the room on these fruits, whereas the nuvae form is round and contains more of the sweet coconut water or juice. So it contains more of sort of the inside of the coconut rather than the husk. And this latter form is the type we see when it comes to coconuts you would probably buy to eat or have the juice of. So to clarify, trees would either have the neocapha type of coconut fruit or they'll have the nuvae type of coconut fruit. So they're different versions, I guess, of the fruit.
Okay, I see. And most of the time, we just see that one type.
Yeah, I think in terms of food, okay, like being used for food. But the, which we'll talk about this, but the neocapha, which is the more fibrous one, that one is used a lot for other things besides food. So they're both important, but they're different. They're distinct.
Okay.
And then to make matters even more confusing, there's also two other groups that that coconut palms get classified into, which is based on their height. So there are tall and dwarf varieties, and dwarfs tend to be used for their fruit and the tall forms for coconut oil and for fiber. And the dwarfs are almost always self-fertilizing as well. So these three traits, having the rounder, juicier fruit, being dwarf, and self-pollinating are thought to be the definitive domestication traits. Like scientists thought that, oh, these are the ones that were domesticated and the other ones were the ones that weren't domesticated. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see.
But as I alluded to before, the neocapha form, the one that has the more fibrous husk, is also used by humans a lot for making coconut oil and fiber. So this is all to say that the research that I mentioned before into the coconut genome complicates the simplicity of the idea of, you know, here's this domesticated type of coconut and here's this undomesticated type of coconut. So here's another quote from that article. Quote, in the Pacific, coconuts likely were first cultivated on islands in Southeast Asia, meaning the Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, and perhaps the continent as well. In the Indian Ocean, the likely center of cultivation was the southern periphery of India, including Sri Lanka, the Maldives, and the Lakshadweeps. The definitive domestication traits, the dwarf habit, self-pollination, and nuive fruits, arose only in the Pacific, however, and then only in a small subset of Pacific coconuts. End quote. And then interestingly, in the Western Indian Ocean, where the researchers had collected samples, they found that those coconuts were a mix of the Indian Ocean type and the Pacific type. So they believe that the Pacific coconuts were introduced to the Indian Ocean a couple thousand years ago by Austronesians establishing trade routes connecting Southeast Asia to Madagascar and coastal East Africa. So I hope that wasn't too confusing. I got confused reading it, so if you got confused, I completely empathize, but I guess the answer to your question of where the coconut palm originates leads us to Southeast Asia and kind of spreads out from there, and they were kind of domesticated and cultivated in different ways, which is interesting.
Man, I think it's so cool that we can learn so much about, like, human culture from the genome of our food. That is so cool.
Yeah, totally.
And are there any, like, conservation implications around coconut palms? Like, they seem really common, but, yeah, what are the conservation issues there?
Yeah, so obviously humans love using coconut palms, as I've talked about. They're the most utilized palm species, from coconut oil to fuel to water to building materials, and they have been used for so long, as we talked about. Because of this, we've introduced coconuts to many places where they weren't originally native. One example I read about was in an article in Science Magazine called Ridding Paradise of Palms by Kenneth R. Weiss, which talks about a group of researchers in the Palmyra Atoll in the Central Pacific Ocean. And so that's basically a ring-shaped island. And these researchers are trying to remove 99% of the atoll's millions of coconut palms to create more space for the indigenous forest and ecosystem to flourish. In this way, Palmyra has been turned into a laboratory for ecosystem restoration, as these researchers test the effects of this kind of project.
Hmm.
It appears that coconuts may have first washed ashore on Palmyra by the whims of the ocean. Quote, by the early 1800s, a passing sailor wrote that some of Palmyra's islets seemed exclusively appropriated to the coconut tree. In 1885, entrepreneurs began to plant commercial groves, which continued intermittently through the 1950s. End quote. The forests on Palmyra are now dominated by coconut palms, but coconut-dominated forests tend to have less biological diversity, more invasive species of insects, and more nutrient-poor soils compared to native forests. Quote, research has shown that fast-growing coconut palms can suck up moisture so fast that they increase water stress in nearby native trees. The palms are more drought and salt-tolerant than native trees, advantages that help them establish dominance and spread as a monoculture. End quote. In Palmyra, they are not trying to completely eradicate the coconut palm, just sort of push them back to get rid of the monoculture and plant more native trees.
That is so interesting that they would, yeah, like, suck up all the moisture first. I haven't heard of that in terms of, like, a competition strategy. Like, I've heard of, like, plants sort of overgrowing other plants and, like, blocking out the sun and, like, you know, kind of strangling them, things like that. But I haven't heard that one. That's very interesting.
Yeah, totally. They do seem really well adapted, and, like, they do seem to thrive in a lot of places where they're introduced. And it seems like they were introduced to a lot of places a long time ago, and also just by the ocean carrying these perfectly floaty coconuts as well.
Oh, yeah, that's an unfortunate trick they have.
But yeah, there are honestly so many things we could talk about when it comes to coconut palms. They're maybe one of the most important, like, resource plants, I guess, or resource things we've talked about on the show. Maybe besides, like, salmon. I don't know. And yeah, one of the most cultivated by humans and also just iconic. Like they're an iconic symbol of kind of the tropics. So this is just one small story about them. And there's just a lot to talk about, but I thought it was an interesting one to share. And I also wanted to zoom out here at the end to say that in general, there are actually a lot of palm species that may be threatened and facing extinction. An article published in Nature, Ecology, and Evolution in 2022 called "The Likely Extinction of Hundreds of Palm Species Threatens Their Contributions to People and Ecosystems" used machine learning to analyze the potential extinction risk for palm species. I also read a great article about this on Manga Bay by Liz Kimbrough. According to the researchers' results, of the 1,889 species of palms with enough data to investigate, 56% may be threatened with extinction, including 185 species that humans make documented use of. The study identified high priority areas for palm conservation, including Borneo, Hawaii, Jamaica, Madagascar, New Caledonia, New Guinea, the Philippines, Sulawesi, Vanuatu, and Vietnam.
Oh, wow. That's a huge number. I didn't realize that. What is causing that potential extinction?
Yeah, I know. I was also surprised because I guess when I think of palms, I'm like, oh, they must be doing very well because you go to some of these places and it's just full of palms. But I guess that is often these monocultures of coconut palms or date palms. But it seems that it's the usual suspects of habitat destruction and agricultural and urban expansion that are causing the threats to these palm species. The researchers from the study hope that their machine learning findings, along with the IUCN Red List data, will speed up preliminary evaluations of this species' conservation status and reduce the costs of investigating them. So I thought this is a really interesting application of machine learning in the field of conservation biology that I didn't know about before.
That's really cool. Nice. Well, I'm glad to hear that there's some technological techniques going into this. Sometimes I feel like ecology is a very technologically outdated field. Like we need some more engineers around. So it's nice to hear about those sorts of things.
I thought it was cool. They talk in the paper too about how there's such an emphasis on like vertebrates with the IUCN Red List and how plants don't get a lot of attention. And so that was part of the reason that they were doing this, was to try to show that there are a lot of threats to these palm species and to try to kind of urge action on it or like urge investigation into it. So yeah, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, that's really cool. Thank you, Sophia. I learned a lot from that. I really enjoy these plant episodes because all of this knowledge is brand new to me and it's very exciting.
Happy to share.
And thanks everyone for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Beyond Blathers and check out our TikTok at Beyond_Blathers.
And don't forget to take a look at our shop at Etsy.com/shop/Beyond Blathers.
Tune in next week to learn more about the insects, fish, and fossils you can find in Animal Crossing New Horizons. Bye.
Bye.